Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me now? All right. Well, it is good to be back in this building where the house of God gathers. Amen. And I've missed all of you. Missed seeing you. If you have a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. Not Corinthians, Chronicles. We are going to be outside of our love series this morning. Because the Lord's laid on my heart a message that He's been working on me for quite some time. And I think that it's come out in probably most of the messages that I've given here in the last, even before coming here, the last several years. People will sometimes ask, so what do you think about American Christianity? And I think it's awful, quite honest. I think it's awful. And I think the church in America particularly, and that's the only country I can address, but that's what I know, but I think we need revival. I think we need revival from the bottom of our hearts, that we need to quit worrying about what other people are doing, and we need to start taking actions. Because I don't know if you've looked around much in society, but it's a lot of fingers pointing in a lot of different directions. And we're not paying attention to what's going on within us. And the Bible says judgment starts with the house of God. Judgment starts with the house of God. So first of all, let it be said that I sure have loved y'all and missed y'all. And it's a joy to be back together. But this morning will be a message, as I said earlier, outside the love series, to simply address the need for God to be the center of our lives and for us as believers to live in the Christ life. Now let me just say this. This could be a long message, so bear with me. Living in the Christ life is, God could have done it 1,000 different ways. But the mystery and the marvel is that He chose to carry His message out through imperfect people. He could have done way better than using me. But God says, I'm going to do this thing in the process of recreating the whole show and bringing us together in heaven and earth in what we call new creation. But I want you to be a part of the mission. And I want you to proclaim the message. And I want you to do that not just with your lips, but with your life and your lifestyle. Does that make sense? There's so much going on that's creating so much chaos within our society and specifically within the broader circle of the church. The church, and listen very carefully here, which is purpose for holiness and unity, is going in all sorts of different directions in how issues should be addressed, because it is obvious for some time now that those who claim Christ know nothing other than Jesus is the way you get to heaven. Does that make sense? That's about as deep as most Christians in America go. Jesus is the way I get to heaven. Yay, Jesus. And do you know that's not the point of Christianity? Do you know that? If you don't know that, that's a baby Christian. Does that make sense? If you don't know that, that's a baby Christian. Because the whole point of the gospel is not going to heaven when you die. What? Well, that's what I've been taught all my life. I know. That's how ignorant the church is of the Word of God. The whole point is not going to heaven when you die. That's a part of the story. The ultimate point is that God is wanting to come and redeem and renew and restore His good creation back to what it once was and allow heaven to come to earth again. That's what the last two chapters of the Bible are all about. I don't know if anybody else in this room needs to hear this message, but I certainly do. So, I'm going to preach to myself this morning and you can listen in. Because I'm personally exhausted and tired. I'm tired of seeing all the ugliness that I see in society. I'm tired of Christians being a part of it. I'm tired of the sheer stupidity that I see on Facebook. I make no apologies about that. I'm tired of the sheer stupidity that I see on Facebook. I'm tired of the Christianity that I see displayed so much in social media and politics. Honestly, I'm tired of a lot of the Christian community this morning who has demonstrated so little of the Christ life in their rhetoric and behavior in the last little while. No wonder. I'll be honest with you. If I didn't know Jesus for the way I know Jesus, there's not a snowball's chance in hell I'd want to know him based on what I see in American Christianity. Period. End of discussion. No way. But what I know of Christ in the Bible, I am absolutely 100% in love with him. And I'm willing to be run off. I'm willing to be booed at, whatever. But I will stand with Jesus. Because so many years ago, he stood with me. As I just mentioned, it can primarily be seen on social media. It's embarrassing and heartbreaking that so many waving the Christian flag demonstrate such anti-Christian behaviors. The church as a whole and individual Christians who make up the church need revival and repentance in their hearts and actions. To quit worrying about what Republicans and Democrats are doing and start worrying about where you fall and where I fall into this problem of rogue Christianity and Christian behavior. It is exhausting seeing the church in America move farther and farther away from the biblical understanding of the church and the Christ life. So this morning I want to lay out some specific areas that I think that we do need revival in. One, and I've already touched on it. And if you're wondering about the passage that I just referred us to, it's going to come towards the end. Have I told y'all this today I love you? I do. But my heart is burdened and sad for so many reasons. I'm tired of Christians focusing solely on going to heaven when they die and forgetting that ultimately heaven is coming here. We have allowed our personal materialistic ideas to bleed into our desire for heaven. One of the poorest translations in the King James is, "In my Father's house are many mansions." That's not what the word. It means literally a dwelling place, a resting place, until a temporary resting place. Does that make sense? If I were to die today, my spirit goes to temporarily be with Christ until he returns. But the whole show, what it means to be human, is to be both body and spirit put together again. That's where the resurrection falls. But we've let our materialistic ideas bleed into. We hear the imagery of streets of gold and mansions, and we think, wow, I didn't have that here. I'll get it there. And we've turned heaven to be the place we desire more than we desire to be wherever Jesus is. Because, folks, I don't care where he is. I want to be with him. Amen? But we've turned Christ into be a stepping stone. Where are you going to go when you die? Well, I want to go to heaven because it's got mansions and streets of gold and things I never had here. Well, then you must confess your sins to Christ. Okay, let me do whatever I need to do there so I can get that. And Christ becomes a means to the end rather than the end in himself. Does that make sense? Heaven is nothing if Christ isn't there. I'm going to say that again. Heaven is nothing if the Lord Almighty, King Jesus, isn't there. The process and the purpose of discipleship, which has all been but forgotten in the modern church of America, is to become new creation communities, being transformed and doing the work of transformation until he returns. But what I've seen all my life in churches is that we sing a few songs, we feel a little inspiration, we get our fire insurance, and we go about doing the rest of our day. And we forget that it's about transforming ourselves. That God is in the business of taking this fallen sinner and transforming him into the new creature that he has made. And his spirit living within me is doing the work. He is the teacher. And that means that I have to confront myself. I have to tell myself no when I want to do wrong. I have to look at the man in the mirror and go, "You are the problem." Right? You're the problem. But it's so easy to put it on something else. We are to be salt and light, the Master said, in this world, and to this world that so desperately needs the message of redemption. We are to set the example, not allow ourselves to get mixed up in the fray of the world's chaos. Now let me give you some passages of Scripture, and this will be on our website, even though it's not in your bulletin, but here are some passages. James 3:16 says, "For where envy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every kind of evil." Amen. Where envy and selfish ambition exist, when I want to do what I want to do, when it's my way. Didn't old Blue Eyes sing a song like that? I did it my way. And that has bled over so much. I'm going to do it my way. Then you may not know Jesus. You may not know him. And I think there are going to be people who stand before the Lord and they hear the awful words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But we were in choir. We were elders. We were deacons. We were pastors. We were faithfully attended. We were Sunday school teachers. You did all of these things, but you never knew me because you never gave up you. Does that make sense? Listen to what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. "Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God." The reason that so many of us wonder what God's will is for our life is because we haven't been transformed in our noggin. Because it says right there in black and white, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God." Until your mind has been baptized with the truth as revealed in Scripture, you're never going to know God's will. And that's why we stop at just the premise of it's all about going to heaven when I die. Because that's as far as we want to go. Because we're just in it. I mean, let me put it crudely a little bit. We're just in to save our own butts, right? That's not what Christianity is about. It's about giving up ourselves. So if, Colossians 3, 1 through 4, "So if you've been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. When the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory." Matthew 5, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world." You, me, we're the light of the world. What happens if the light goes dark? The world can't see. "A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to" who? "Your Father in heaven." Secondly, we need revival in humility and submission. I'm so sick and tired of seeing the anti-authority movement within Christian circles today. And it comes out like this: "Oh, God ain't gonna tell me what to do." Sucker, they will. And the Bible says you need to submit. I'm going to give you two primary verses. Now, you don't have to listen to it, but do us all a favor. Rip off the name Christian off of you. Throw it in the dirt and go on about your life. Because I love Christ enough, I don't want to see his name brought to shambles by the arrogance of people who go, "I'm a Christian." Either we got to obey or get out. Right? We got to get in or get out. I've read this book over and over, and I've never read Christianity Light in here. There's a Bud Light. But I ain't never met Christianity Light. Does that make sense? I'm tired of the anti-authority movement I see so much in Christians today. The attitude, they aren't going to tell me what to do. The John Wayne approach has absolutely no room within Christian faith. Do you know what? If John Wayne is in heaven, guess what? He had to give up John Wayne. Do you know what? He had to give up John Wayne. I know we're at a cowboy church, and I love John Wayne movies, but that can never be the attitude of the Christian. So decide for yourself who's going to be your Savior, Jesus or John Wayne. And if John Wayne is, you'll blow hell wide open. You'll blow hell wide open. We as followers of Christ have willingly placed ourselves under the authority of Christ. And all God's people said, and catch this, and any and all authority that he has placed over us. And all God's people said, and we must submit to him and to them. For example, the church authority. Who does that authority fall to? The elder body, according to Scripture. But guess what? He's placed other authorities over our life called the local, state, and national authority. And we call these governments. I know there's a lot of distrust in government today. But I want to read you two passages of Scripture to bring us back to Christian thinking. Romans 13, 1 through 2. Write it down if you need it, and it's going to be on the website. Everyone, now I know we're intelligent people in here, but just for the sake of argument, what does the word everyone mean? No one's left out, right? Everyone must submit to the governing authorities. So says St. Paul in Romans 13. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist are instituted by God. Uh-oh. I don't like where this is going, Jeff. So then, the one who resists the authority is opposing God's command, and those who oppose it will bring judgment on themselves. Before I read the second one, can I remind you that the authority, the big chief in charge when Paul wrote this, was one of the most atrocious, head-hunting, villainous characters of human history. Roman emperor named Nero. He burnt the city of Rome just to blame it and give people reason to persecute Christians. He would light the streets with the decaying bodies of Christians. And Paul says, submit. Isn't that the story of Jesus? Have we not forgotten the life of our Lord? Did he not submit to a pagan authority representing government called Pontius Pilate? Amen. He did. And was it not for the great good? We might have said if we were writing the story of Jesus, we wouldn't have done it that way. But God did. And Jesus submitted. And he looks to power and he says, you don't take my life. No one has the authority to take my life. I lay it down. You know what he was saying? I'm submitting to you. I'm allowing you to kill me. Because I know there's something greater on the other side. But we can't see it because we're too many John Waynes. God doesn't do it the way we do it. My ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high and far are my ways than your ways. 1 Peter 2 says, submit to every human authority because of the Lord. whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors as those sent out by him to punish those who do what is evil and to praise those who do what is good. For it is God's will that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. By doing good. Didn't Jesus ultimately quiet all the naysayers on that Sunday morning we call Easter? But there would be no Easter if he had not submitted to the authorities. And if this seems strange to you, it just comes back that we must transform our minds. We must think Christianly. Third, Christians, it seems these days, are not willing to think or give space for thought in their life. We don't know how to partner and have a healthy debate for the sake of truth. We're not interested in the evidence anymore. I used to go around and teach apologetics, which is the truth claims of the Christian faith, looking for evidence. And do you know who the hardest group of people it was for me to teach those classes to? Christians! My heart would leap for joy when they'd say, hey, most of these people are non-believers. Yeah. Because non-believers, they were like mesmerized going, wow, there is something to this whole Christian thing. But I could teach the same class in most churches, and churches, I don't need all that stuff, Jeff. I got faith. You self-righteous bigot. I got faith. No, you don't. Because obviously you're not obeying this word of God. Because the Bible says, be prepared, honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. What does that mean? Completely submit to King Jesus. And be prepared to give a defense for the reason of the hope that is within you. And do this with gentleness and respect. Let me ask you, we're going to have disagreements. Are we handling them with gentleness and respect? Because if you're not, you need to repent. So many Christians are uninterested in the evidence as the world is. We have ceased to use our minds for the faith and therefore reduce faith to something outside the biblical definition. We have become emotional bigots, and often we aren't willing to do the homework to do the research. And if we're not willing to do the research, we're not protecting our most prized possession, truth itself. Not to mention, most don't know how to do research anymore. They simply see what other people say on Facebook, listen to coffee shop banner, and take it for fact, so naively. Many today already have an agenda, and they're just looking for things to support what they already have come to believe in. Therefore, we can be just as guilty as spreading misinformation, disinformation, and propaganda as the rest. Honestly, I think the best thing that some people could do for their Christian witness is cancel their Facebook page. I watch some of that stuff and I go, I've been preaching on love for nearly a year now. Is it not rubbed off on anything? Misinformation. You hear that word a lot. It's simply the false information. Disinformation is false information, which is intended to mislead. And propaganda, which is information spread to make someone or something look good or bad. But we must not partake in any of that. We must be truth tellers. Amen? We must be truth tellers. And if we don't know it for fact, back up. Because sometimes silence is the best thing that we can give the world. And what I've seen in both the left and the right is that both are equally promoting cancel culture and political correctness. Both on the left and the right. I love what the verse Stephanie used last night. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. Do you see how it's evidence-based? It's engaging the heart and the mind. Matthew 22:37 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. 2 Timothy 2 says, be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. Like Ron's message last week, we need to be daily in the word of God. Paul goes on to write, he goes, avoid irreverent and empty speech, for this will produce an even greater measure of ungodliness. I'm going to read that again, because man, we need to hear it. Avoid irreverent, empty speech, for this will produce an even greater measure of godlessness. Four, Christians have put their political interests higher than they have their Christianity. They're more passionate about America, political parties, wealth, or being right than they are about Jesus. If we had the zeal for Jesus Christ, as many have, for President Trump or Biden, the world would in fact be a different looking place today. Sadly, the church today has dropped so low off the radar of discipleship that where in times past churches split or had disagreements over theological matters, most in the church today don't know enough theology to disagree on. Therefore, we are reduced to being consumed with complete political jargon. There's other words I would love to put there for that, but that's what we'll go with today. We have become suckers of politicians because we have bought into their culture wars and made things political that never should have been. May I remind us, Paul says, for I've often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And sadly, I think some of those people go to church regularly. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. They are focused on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject everything to Himself. What does our Lord teach in the Sermon on the Mount? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Five. Christians seem to be more concerned about their rights over their obligation under the command of King Jesus to love one another. I just recently reread the book, The Great Divorce. It's about a fictitious tale of a bus ride from hell to heaven. And it was interesting that these different interactions of these different personalities, and it was interesting. It's like, man, I'm reading Facebook right now. Because so much of the personalities are so prevalent in our society. One man says he overlooked grace and the gift of charity to enter into the glory of the kingdom because he was so concerned about my rights. I don't want your charity. I just want my rights. Gosh, that's what we hear so much today in the rhetoric of our society. It's my freedom, my rights. May I remind you that as a believer in Christ, you gave up your rights when you chose to follow Him? The Apostle Paul says, you know that part of us that has rights? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. It ain't about you. You don't live. If you're a follower of Jesus, Jeff Jackson doesn't live. The only right I have is to follow the King's orders. That's a great place to say amen, y'all. The only right I have is to follow the King's orders. But the reason that so many are so caught up in their rights is because they put their patriotism over their Christianity. And guess what? In the future, all they may have is their patriotism. I no longer live, but the life I live by faith in the Son of God. And that faith is not just going to heaven when I die. It's the embodiment of the Christ life. God changed me, transformed me, Lord, I'd love to knock this person out, but God, give me patience, give me kindness, change my heart. Jesus called us to pray and love, not just those who love us and pat us on the back and tell us a good job, but people who are directly going in opposition of what we believe to be true. How many of us have prayed for President Biden this week? I bet very few. But as a Christian, we are under, catch this, the mandate to pray for our enemies. To pray for those who persecute you and say false things about you. That's the Christian life you signed up for if you said yes to Jesus. And guess what? It ain't an option. It ain't whether you feel like it, you want to. We just got to say, yes, Lord, I'll shut up and do it. Do you get the point? We need some revival. Jesus said, I give you a new command, love one another, just as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? He died for us. That's how he loved us. You must. What does the word must mean? Does that sound like an imperative? A command? A non-negotiable? Yes. You must love one another. By this all people will know you are my disciples if you also have love for one another. Philippians 2 says, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Are you looking to others as more important than yourselves? Or are you so worried about your rights? Everyone should look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Six. There's only seven, so. Christians. I'm sick of seeing Christians say true things in the most unloving of ways. What happened to our sense of kindness? What happened to the fruits of the Spirit that we as a believer are supposed to bear? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness. I remember when I was in law enforcement, my training officer was a mountain of a man. I'd put him up against anybody I ever met and say, he can only use one arm. He could take him. Seen him do it. And this man who had more resources to handle other men said this, you can get people a lot farther where you want them to go with honey than you can with vinegar. Now, if we know that have that much common sense in something outside of a Christian circle, even though both of us were both Christians, why can't we learn that in the church today? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who desire to belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And going back to our text that we've been our text all year, love is patient, love is kind. And number seven, tired of Christians and churches not cultivating a gospel culture within the body of Christ. Sadly, many churches today look more like the Republican Convention than a gospel-cultured church. Because people are more Republicans or more Democrats or more any other label today than they are believer. We often look for Jesus to endorse us in our agendas rather than looking to forsake our agenda for His. We are to be a changed people in beliefs and behaviors. We are to give in this body of Christ a taste of new creation. When this visitor came in this morning, they should leave here going, wow, that's what new creation is going to be like. Truth is going to be said. We're going to worship. And there is a presence of peace and gentleness and kindness. Because that's what it means to be the church. The church was founded on the purpose of unity and holiness. Guess what? If I don't have to be unified, it's easy to be holy. And if I don't have to worry about being holy, I can be united to a lot of different things. But it really gets tough when you have to have unity and holiness together. Because that forces us to deal with each other and our own transgressions and the transgressions of others. And it has to produce a forgiving spirit within our life and looking for the best and how to build each other up and encourage each other. That's what new creation's all about forgiveness, renewal, redemption, restoration. And that's what people should experience when they come to church. We are to give in this body of Christ a taste of new creation. When heaven and earth come together again, isn't that the model prayer? Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed, and look, new things have come. Now I come to the end of the talk. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 11, so Solomon finished the Lord's temple and the royal palace. Everything that had entered Solomon's heart to do for the Lord's temple and for his own palace succeeded. And then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a temple of sacrifice. Now, understanding that, just a little bit of the temple, it was the place where heaven and earth met, because God and man would go together. He says, if I close the sky so there is no rain, or if I command the grasshopper to consume the land, or if I send pestilence on my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. My eyes will now be open, and my ears attentive to prayers from this place. And I have now chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there at all times. We, his people, must come together in unity and holiness and bow before him like Solomon. We must bow before him. In this short passage, we see an if-then contingent. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves. Are you humble today? Are you trying to push through the difficulties of life through your own strength, through the yee-haw and the John Wayne? Are you saying, God, I ain't got it. I ain't got this. It's way too big for me. And Lord, I want only what you want. I want only what you want. If my people who are called by name humble themselves and pray. What we need more now are men and women who follow Jesus to spend their time soaking their minds and their hearts in the presence of God in prayer. Seek truth with all our hearts. Yeah, that may mean we have to read a book. That might mean we have to engage and ask questions and show our ignorance for a bit. You know why we do Question Sunday? Because I want church to be a safe place to reveal our ignorance. I know our pride says, don't let people know what you don't know. If I haven't learned anything in all my years in school and I've learned this, there's so much about life I don't know. There's so much about God I don't know. But dadgummit, I am so stinking interested in finding out. And I'm excited that my learning about God doesn't cease when I get to heaven. It's only the beginning. I just get to do it in real classroom-like setting, in the presence, the visible presence of the teacher. We often think of Jesus as Savior, but you know, primarily they referred him as teacher. 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 Is Jesus your teacher this morning? As we navigate through some of these world things, is your pride getting in the way? Is your arrogance getting in the way? Are you letting your mouth overload your backside? Or are you humbling yourselves? Are you praying to the Lord of glory? Are you seeking His face in truth? And here's the big one. And repent. They turn from their evil ways. They actually make a change. He says this. If you do that, then, right? That's a conditional. Then I will hear from heaven. I will hear your prayers. There's many people, as they pray in their self-righteousness, God doesn't even recognize their prayers because their heart ain't right. They're approaching the throne of grace as if they're an equal. He says, then I'll hear your prayers, I'll forgive your sin, and I'll heal your land. First, I want to speak in regard to the nation. 20 years ago today, or yesterday rather, a great attack took place in one of our major cities, creating a new awareness and a trajectory for this nation for decades. We as a nation, it seems, has grown distant to this horrible tragedy. And we have fallen back into the mentality of division we had on 9/10. And sadly, it may take another tragedy like 9/11 for us to experience the unity that we had on 9/12. 3 days makes a difference. It did 20 years ago. It did 2,000 years ago. 3 days makes a difference. Don't give me this crap, I'm trying. Get it done. Get it done. To the church, if those who claim Christ truly are believers, then unity and holiness should be our mission. We must repent and let go of anything that comes between us and the allegiance we are to have to our King, even if that means giving up the idolatry that is America for so many. I'm very proud to be an American. On our worst day, we have it better 10,000 times than the rest of the world. And we're so expectant of our luxury that when it don't look like it always has looked, we think we're under persecution. Go live in China. Go live in North Korea. How about Afghanistan? Go try waving the light and being the salt there. We've got it so unbelievably good. So unbelievably good that we're ungrateful. Many need to repent of letting America become their idol. And people like Biden and Trump, their savior. If not, then the words no one would want to hear may be true. When Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do miracles in your name? And then Jesus said, I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. What we need right now in the church is revival. Getting our priorities straight before the Lord and saying, Lord, you are my King. You are my numero uno. And anything, even if it's a good thing, like America, like our family, if it comes between you and I will repent and put it in its proper place so that I always serve you. It's funny, in these last few years, people say, well, I think, you know, America could fall. Let me just clear that up. America will. She will. No one thought the Roman Empire, that was around 900 years old, thought they would it would ever crash. But guess what? It is no more. And what we've done is we've tied our faith, hitched our faith too close to the wagons of our patriotism, and now our patriotism is sinking our faith. Does that make sense? King Jesus. Amen. Say it with me. King Jesus. May we follow him. I love you guys. I hope the Lord spoke to you as much as he's been speaking to me on these matters. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, bow before you. And Lord, there's so many things that are going on, Lord, that we just need your help. Help us as leaders to know how to lead with gentleness and respect. And Lord, as our hearts miss many who have recently gone to be with you, Lord, we praise you that they are in your presence, seeing you as I speak to you. And that makes me feel close to them. Lord Jesus, thank you for being such a gracious God. That you inhabited this world of evil. You submitted to the authorities. And you showed us that it's not just about bucking a system. It's about going through the system and coming out victorious on the other side. Help us to see that in our way of thinking. Help us to change our way of thinking to that way of thinking, God. Lord, that I believe that unless any authority is pushing values that aren't Christ-like, we are to submit. And in doing so, we display the Christ life to others. In the way that you submitted to Pontius Pilate so that the Father's will could be done and we could be saved. Thank you, Lord. I don't have the words, Lord, but you know my heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.